Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. That's it. We were to walk in Christ. We've received him. It's not about receiving the knowledge. That was all of what mystery religions were about. But that we have received the Savior. And now we walk in him.
We have the truth of God's word to follow and obey. And we have Jesus himself with us, helping us to walk humbly, to walk in obedience, to walk in love. Colossians chapter 2 tells us if we walk this way, we are rooted in Jesus and rooted in faith. We're studying the basic richness of Colossians with more from the first 10 verses of chapter 2. Dig in with us. Here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
There are a lot of persuasive words that are out there, and they come from pulpits. And in those pulpits, in those churches, the word of God is watered down. The end result of a watered down message of the truth of the gospel is people who are living lukewarm for Christ. So he says, though I am absent in the flesh, these people are there with persuasive words, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. He doesn't tell them, I think you guys have gone down this wrong road. He says, I'm with you in spirit, and I'm rejoicing to see your steadfastness, that you are not going to be led astray by these persuasive words. He says, as you therefore have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. That's it. We're to walk in Christ. We've received him. It's not about receiving the knowledge. That was all of what mystery religions were about. But that we have received the Savior. And now we walk in him day by day, taking the truths of the things that he taught, taking the truths of the dichotomies that's in this world. Oftentimes things are opposite in the world. In the world, what kind of a motivational speaker would tell you to take the last spot? Let everybody go in front of you. You say, well, I'm going to be a doormat. What about turn the other cheek? If someone insults you, slaps you in the cheek, you turn to them the other cheek. These are issues that we need to first learn how to live. It's funny, we somehow think they're elementary, but we haven't mastered them yet. Just let someone slap you in the cheek and see how you respond. Just let someone insult you and see how you respond. Jesus said, turn the other cheek to them. And we go, oh no, you didn't. You won't do that to me. That's the world. We're to live completely and totally different. So we have Christ in us. So let's walk in the way that we've been told to walk. Let's walk humbly. Let's walk in having our hearts knit together in love. Let's give up our rights instead of demanding our rights. Let's live that way that Christ told us to live by faith. And in doing so, it becomes incredibly powerful. It becomes life-changing to us. He says in verse 7, that if we hang on to this truth and aren't persuaded by them, but we walk in Christ, he's building on these things, that then we are rooted and built in him and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. God wants you rooted in him. It's a picture of Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in that law, he meditates day and night, and he will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaves will not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. That's what he wants from us. We are not rooted and grounded by taking the philosophies of the world in, and there are always going to be new ones, right? And they come and go. There's always new ways in which people are looking at the world. There's always new thoughts. There's always new ideas of being woke. We are a woke society. We understand things better today than ever before. But in 50 years, they'll be saying the same thing. If the Lord doesn't return within that time, there'll be all new philosophies, maybe even regurgitated ones that are being taught. You got to get a hold of this. You got to understand that. And if you learn to live like this, then you're going to really be rich. You'll really then have power in your life. You'll have victory over instead of being rooted and built up in Him, by not watering down the truth, but hanging on to it. Rooted and built up, he says, verse 7, and established in the faith. What does it mean to be established? Well, you're like that tree that won't blow over. Your roots go down so deep that you cannot be moved. The Bible says that in the last days, there will be a great falling away. I believe it means that there are many Christians who will leave the faith. Some believe it's a reference to the rapture. I don't think that's the context. The great falling away being a great catching up, they would say. But that in the last days, there's going to be a lot of people who are leaving. We're actually seeing that. I think it's one of the signs that we are living in the last times. We are seeing many Christian artists, Christian authors, who are walking away from Christ. They are still calling themselves Christians because they say, what else am I going to call myself? But they're no longer following Him. They will say, I don't believe in the resurrection anymore. I don't believe in the supernatural. I don't believe in the virgin birth. And I just got to be honest with these things that I don't believe. And I think there's a lie. The Bible says that in the last days there will be a lie. And I think there's a lie that people are believing. And we need to be established. And we are established by the truth, not by anything that's watered down. And that's what Paul's saying, that you would be rooted and established in the faith. Jesus said, if you build your house on sand, the wind is going to come and beat against it, the rains are going to fall, and great is going to be the fall of that house. And he didn't say, if you build your house on the rock, there will be no wind and there will be no rain, right? No, there's still storms, and there's still wind, and there's still rain. He said, but if you build your house on the rock, the rain will beat on the house, and the wind will blow on the house, but the house will stand. That's the idea. We build our house on Christ, and we are established in Him by the truth, and by walking in the truth, and not letting anybody by, what did he say? Persuasive words lead us away from what the truth is. Rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, as you have been taught. Coming back to the things that we've been taught, the things that people call simple, the things that people call elementary. It's been one of the things that's been said about Calvary Chapel over the years. Well, Calvary Chapel is a place for new believers. It's a place for young Christians, because they just teach the Bible. They just teach the simple things of the Bible. And I say, thank you, I'm glad you noticed. But I think quite the contrary. I think these things are so deep and so rich and so life-changing that when we get a hold of them, they move in our lives and we become those who are rooted and grounded in the things we've been taught. Paul said the same thing in a way in Galatians when he said, if anybody comes to you teaching you anything other than what you've already heard, let them be accursed. He was saying the same thing that he's saying to the Colossians. They're coming to you with all of this other stuff. Don't take it. Then he said, if an angel comes to you, or we ourselves come to you, teaching you something different than what you've already heard, let them be accursed. John said the same thing in 2 John when he was talking about false teachers. He said, this is a very interesting verse. He says, you don't have any need of anyone to teach you. It wasn't that they didn't need teachers. It's that they already had been taught. They already had enough info. He was in essence saying, trust yourselves. You know enough. You've heard the teachings. When you hear a false teaching, you know it. And even if you don't recognize it right away, it doesn't take long. First time I was exposed to the prosperity movement, my first thought was, this is great. I was 19 years old. This is great. I want to be rich and God wants me rich. I like that. By the time I got home, already the Holy Spirit had brought 2 Timothy chapter 6 to my mind. I'm driving home and I'm thinking, somewhere it says to separate yourself from those who are teaching godliness as means of great gain. And I had to get home and look it up. Not only did it say that, but it says that godliness with contentment is great gain. That if we are content with what God has given us, there's great gain in godliness. But it's not financial gain, it's great gain. So we take what we've been taught. We take those truths into our lives, abounding in it, he says, by faith and having been taught and abounding in the things that we've been taught. It means we take them and we apply them. We're not just hearers of the word, but we're doers of the word with all thanksgiving. Just thankful that God has given us all of these truths that are hard enough to grasp, hard enough to live, that we'll spend the rest of our lives trying to perfect them in our daily lives, in our daily living. We'll fight against ourselves when someone drives by us and hollers and curses at us. And Jesus said, bless those who curse you. And we have trouble with that. They go by screaming and hollering and we're like screaming and hollering right back. Really, you ought to be saying, have a great day. God bless you. I hope the rest of your day is just awesome. These are things we've been taught, right? We learned them when we went through the Sermon on the Mount for the very first time. But they are, again, basic, but powerful. He says in verse 8, beware lest anyone cheat you. If you let anybody water down the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ with worldly thoughts, worldly wisdom, with philosophies of men, then you're being cheated. Because now you're not living the very things that are the basic aspects of Christianity. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophies and empty deceit. Philosophies sound good, but if they don't have real truth in them, it doesn't mean anything. They're empty deceit. They don't have the same power. There's something about living by faith when God tells us something to do and we do it. There's something about God meeting us there and working in our lives when we live by faith. But we get cheated through philosophies and empty deceit according to the traditions of men. The traditions of men in their day, similar to the traditions of men in our day, according to the basic principles of the world, the way the world looks at things. The world will tell you, don't be a doormat. Stand up for yourself. It's the exact opposite of what Jesus said when he said, turn the other cheek. The basic principles of this world and not according to Christ. Those things cheat us because we don't eventually have the fruit that comes from living the truth. We aren't rooted and grounded, established. And then he says, in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's a pretty incredible statement. In Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, dwell bodily in Christ so that he is everything. If verses 15 through 20 are true, and he is the preeminence, and in him all things consist, then what is worldly wisdom and philosophies and basic principles of the world? Where do they have a place? How will they mean anything to us? Some of them will tickle our ears, but we'll end up being cheated by them. Finally, he says, and I love this, you are complete in him. There's nothing they have to offer you. They come up with something new. I've heard people say it before. What I've got for you tonight is new. This is something God revealed to me. And I'm giving it to you. And I like what Greg Laurie says. If it's new, it's not true. And if it's true, it's not new. But the church sometimes is so eager to hear those things, and it's unfortunate. You are complete in him. I was going to look up the passage today. I think it's in 1 Peter that says that we have been given everything we need for life and godliness. We've been given it all. Right here in the pages of Scripture. There's nothing that can be added, but there will always be those who will try. Who is the head, in him you are complete, who is the head of all principalities and powers. Now he's taken another stab there at early Gnosticism. Early Gnosticism believed that the higher power, the lower power created the earth, and the higher power was trying to redeem the earth and redeemed them through angels or beings that were like angels. And they worshiped them. The Gnostics worshiped the angels. And so when he says you're complete in Christ, who created all principalities and powers, and we know that the Bible teaches us not to worship angels. John, even on the island of Patmos, when he saw an angel, fell down, and the angel said, get up. Don't do that. What are you doing? But they worshiped them. And so he says, this one that you're complete in, he's the one who created principalities and powers. And later on, he'll mention not worshiping angels. But he created, and principalities and powers is a reference to angels. He created all principalities and powers. So we have been entrusted with the Word of God by him. He's given us all of these manuscripts, 5,000 Greek manuscripts, more than that now, around 24,000 total manuscripts. These are other languages that we have the manuscripts of. We have the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls, which were 2,000 years away from us and 1,500 years than some of our oldest manuscripts that we had. And they confirmed what the other manuscripts had said. So that God's word in our hearts can produce a seed that can grow and produce a crop 30, 60, and 100 fold. Weeds will choke them out, Jesus said. Rocky ground will allow them to sprout, but they'll die off soon. But if we have a good heart, the word of God will land on it, and it will be incredibly effective. And we do not need any of these human philosophies. One more thought. Jesus said to his disciples on the Mount of Olives, when they said, tell us about the end of the world. When will these things be? When they were on the Temple Mount, they had pointed out to Jesus the temple Herod built. And it was impressive. Some of those stones are 40 feet long, 4 feet high, and 4 feet deep. And they fit together like they're milled to fit together. They were impressive. Look at this temple and look at these stones, they said to Jesus. And Jesus said, I tell you the truth. Not one of these stones will be left standing on another. And if you go to the Temple Mount today, the temple is scraped off the top. It is not there. That very building they were impressed with, Jesus prophesied it would be gone. We have the prophecy of Jesus, and it wasn't destroyed until between 66 and 70 AD. It was when it was destroyed after the siege that took 3 years. So Jesus crucified in 32, it's destroyed in 70. What if the temple still stood? You and I had the scriptures that said that not one stone will be left upon another. Once again, we find God using prophecy to show us that we can trust the things that are in the Word of God. You don't have that with human philosophy. All you've got is people's ideas. And there are grand ideas, to be sure, right? I mean, some people are deep thinkers, a lot deeper than me. Some people come up with great grand ideas. But the greatest, grandest idea of man could never be compared to any of the thoughts that God has given us, to any of the truths that come from scriptures. So we want to stay true. We want to keep the Word of God unadulterated. We want to trust it and apply it. And then the disciples said on the mount, tell us when these things will be. When is it going to happen? And Jesus said, I tell you the truth that in the last days, many false teachers are going to come. Take heed to yourselves that you are not deceived. We are living in the last days. There's several reasons why I believe that, and someday we'll have a study for that. I think there's a lot of signs for the last days today, and they're not the normal ones that you think. They're not, pestilences or diseases, which were mentioned, right? Which we have going on right now. They're not earthquakes in various places and wars. Those things are going on right now. Jesus said all of those things are going to be. But the end is not yet. Then he said, the gospel will be preached all around the world, and then the end will come. The gospel is being preached all around the world, and that's one of the signs that we're living in those last days. I'll share more with you at another time, but I just bring that up to make a point here at the end. Take heed to yourselves that you're not deceived. Don't receive some human philosophy and water it down. Water the Word of God down. The Word of God is so powerful without being watered down. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much that we have this incredible passage in the book of Colossians, which challenges us not to give in to worldly philosophies and to live for them. We pray that you would help us, that we would do what Paul told us to do in Galatians, that we would not listen to anyone bringing anything that is new, that we haven't heard. We have been taught your word. We thank you for that. We pray that we would live these things that we have been told, that we would be doers of the word and not only hearers. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please, and your eyes closed for a couple of minutes. I'd also like to ask that no one would leave early. We're almost done. I'll dismiss you here in a moment. But I want to give you an opportunity today to invite Jesus into your life. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, that as many as receive him, he gives the power to become a child of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, that if you call out and you believe in him, that you will be saved if you call out to him today. This is something that you have to do. Jesus said, you must be born again or you will not see the kingdom of heaven. You have to be born twice, born once in the flesh and then once in the spirit. And then you will only die once and maybe not even that. But if you were only born once, if you're only born once, you'll die twice. You'll die physically and you'll die spiritually, which is much worse. If you're here today and you've never invited Jesus in, Jesus is standing at the door knocking. He won't come in unless you invite him. So would you tonight say, I want you in my life? If you're here today and you want to invite Jesus in, I'm going to ask you to do something simple. Lift your hand now. I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. God bless you guys. That's great. Anyone else? Just lift your hand up. You're saying, I want Christ in my life today. I want to live for him. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away and everything becomes new. I'll scan the room one more time. Just raise your hand. Lift it up high so I can see it. I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you. God bless you, sir. That's great. Anyone else? All right. God bless you. You can put your hands down. And Father, I'd like to lift up those who raised their hands to you today. Lord, you know exactly what's going on in their lives. You know all the details. We pray for them. They pray that they would be rooted and established in you. We pray that the richness of your word would transform them and that you, Christ, the hope of glory, would be in them. We thank you for this in the name of Jesus. I'd like everyone in the room, including those who raised their hands, to repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I have sinned, and I know my sin can separate me from you. But I also understand that I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life, and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same, Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.